First, just an announcement, as sometimes happens, you might get something all prepared and get it ready, and you hit send, and it goes to be published, and then new information comes out, right? That's exactly what happened with my pastor's corner. And regarding masks and everything, we know on Thursday, the CDC came out with some newer guidelines, more liberal guidelines, though our bishop has yet to give something for all of us. We, of course, being Catholic, we exist in a greater communion of others, and so we're waiting for some direction from him, though there is a meeting this week that I think we'll probably be hearing something. So hopefully soon we'll be able to be a little more free as far as masks go. So thank you in the meantime for your great patience. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So let's look briefly, more closely, at what we are celebrating today, which is the ascension of Jesus into heaven. So what does that mean, and what does that mean for you and me? So it happened 40 days after his resurrection. Now, the number 40 is a very important number in Scripture. In the Bible, it comes up over and over. And to keep this homily much shorter, I'm going to ask you to look that up on your own, okay? Now, here we are on the other side of the resurrection 40 days later, and he's had 40 days to prepare the apostles and disciples who have seen his risen self. These are people who have seen with their own eyes, heard him speaking and teaching even after he was raised from the dead. The man who died was in a tomb, is now alive. They see him. And the time of preparation has come to an end. The time now, the eternal second person of the most holy Trinity, who took on human flesh, was named Jesus while he was on earth. He now returns to his home in heaven, if you will. Now, don't think of heaven as up there, right? Heaven is not like a place like past the planet Jupiter or just outside of the Milky Way or whatever. It's not like that at all. It's a real place, but not like we think of Aiken, South Carolina as being a place, or one of the planets as being a place. Think of it instead as more of a different dimension itself, but one outside of our comprehension. It's something outside of all space and time, because God, that is the Christian God, exists outside of all space and time. He is not bound by space or time. He's not bound by creation. He is the creator. This is where heaven is, with God who is existence itself. So in other words, by the ascension, Jesus ends what we would consider a normal physical presence in time, in order to be truly now omnipresent. That means present always and everywhere. Omnipresent, that is one of the qualities of God. God is present always and everywhere to his creation. And this is now reflected, actually, in the Mass. The liturgy that we celebrate already reflects the fact that Christ is now able to be everywhere all the time. The Church teaches us there are four major ways in which Jesus is present through the Mass. The first way is, of course, in the Word that is proclaimed. He is, of course, the incarnate Word who existed before all time. In St. John's marvelous prologue to his Gospel, we know that the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So this Word is made present. Now remember, this is not the paper. That's not the Word we're talking about. The Word became flesh, not paper, right? The Word is alive. That is who we worship in the Word. Also, he is present in the gathered assembly. He himself said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in their midst. So as the baptized disciples, he is with us. A third way he's present during the Mass is in the person of the ordained minister. Now, speaking as a priest, my whole purpose is to bring you Christ, to be Christ for you. St. John Chrysostom says in the 400s, during the Mass, the priest should disappear so that only Christ remains. Now, we accomplish this to varying degrees of success, I have to admit, as priests, but that's what it's supposed to be. We're supposed to disappear so that only Christ remains. Our own souls, just like your soul at baptism and confirmation was changed, also at ordination, so that when a priest says those words, "This is my body, this is my blood," the bread and wine completely become Jesus' very own body and blood here in time. And a fourth way that Jesus is present, the Church says, in a very special way, in the most blessed sacrament that we receive, Jesus' body, blood, soul, and divinity, that is, the entire Christ. He is present physically in the Blessed Sacrament, but not in the same way as when he walked the earth, because now he's present in a more real way, a more complete way than he was able to be then. Again, that omnipresence comes about through this. So in the ascension of Jesus, he joins his resurrected human body, glorified, right, to uniting it forever to the one Godhead. Jesus has taken human flesh, perfected and purified and glorified, but it's still human. And he's taken that and united it to the eternal Godhead, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and giving now you and me the opportunity for an insight into the very interior life of the Holy Trinity, the interior life of God. The angels, in all of their glory and splendor, will always be viewing God from the outside, because the Word became one of us, flesh, not an angel. We have the opportunity to be part of him from the inside. He is the head, we are the body. So then what's next for us? So Jesus said to the disciples, "You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, through Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." And we are here this morning, you and I are here this morning, because that has happened. It has gone to the ends of the earth. We are here this morning because it happened. And at the end of Mass, he then sends you and me out with the same thing for the same reason. In the second reading, I love this passage from our second reading from the Ephesians. Jesus gave some as apostles, others as prophets, others as evangelists, others as pastors and teachers. Why? So listen closely. He did all that in order to, for the purpose of equipping the holy ones for the work of ministry. So do you see what St. Paul is saying here? That my role as priests and our deacons here and those on our staff who teach, our role is to equip the holy ones. Guess who are the holy ones? You are. You are holy. You are precious in God's eyes. You are a holy temple of God. And so our purpose is to equip you to do the work outside of these walls. My work is to equip you to go outside and do the rest of the work. Now, I've mentioned so many times before, I can't come to your house every day and have coffee with you and your spouse and your children and talk about how wonderful God is and how central he is to us. I'd love to do that, but that's impossible. I can't locate myself in that many places. But you can. Every day, everybody can begin their day this way. Every disciple. As a disciple, baptized and confirmed, you must do this in order to fulfill your purpose. It's the reason you exist as a disciple, that you bear the name disciple. For the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain the unity of faith and knowledge of the Son of God. St. Paul continues on. So friends, brothers and sisters, don't shirk your responsibility that has been given you. If you're a parent, for instance, don't presume a Catholic school, no matter how wonderful it is, how good it is, don't presume the Catholic school will teach your children the whole faith. We will, and we're going to do our best at it. But nothing will be as good as your witness, daily, in your words, in your deeds, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week when they live with you. None of it will sink in unless it is practiced every day in the home, every day, in every way. And this is even if you don't have children. The faith starts in the domestic church, in your home. Think of your home as a little church, okay? You encounter God for about 1 hour here every Sunday. Sometimes a little more than an hour, sometimes a little less, but about 1 hour. So that is, you have to then think of how you're going to spend the other 167 hours outside of here. That is 10,020 minutes or 601,200 seconds, however you want to measure it. The point is, you spend much more time outside of these walls, away from here, than inside of here. So make it holy. Make it count. If you are an employer, an employee, and you can't, because of things at work, you can't talk about religion over your coffee or whatever, you can certainly then, outside of all that, invite the other person to Mass, invite them to go deeper into something. I am here ultimately because people invited me. One guy, my New Jersey friend, dragged me across the threshold of a Catholic church that got me in. And another person invited me to think about being a priest. Invitation, personal invitation is very important. We as Catholic Christians must start taking responsibility today for the truth that has been revealed to us. And stop wasting time, sacred time. The time of mediocre Christians is over. They do no good to the world. It is you and I who go to make the faith attractive to others. It is you and I who are witnesses today of the resurrection and the ascension. We are ambassadors for Christ and for all who will accept it. The gospel is the power of God, the power to release people from their burden of guilt and sin and oppression, and the power to heal and restore and to make us whole. Strengthened here by Jesus' body and blood, leave these walls at the deacon's invitation to go. Go and tell everyone the reason for your hope, Jesus Christ, risen and ascended, so that you and I could live in the heart of God forever. And isn't that a message worth telling the whole world? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, let us stand.